Sarah Kerrigan from, I was about to say Soul Calibur. I haven't had that much to drink. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Dress Down. It is very special today because in lieu of a guest, we are doing a solo podcast for the very, very first time, but it is in celebration of our 1 year podcast anniversary. I believe our first episode was February 14th of 2025.
Yep.
Right? Yes. And so we have officially surpassed 1 year and have never missed a week. So very exciting stuff. Very, very, very cool. Time is also a construct that doesn't exist, I think. I don't know. We do have a guest here in our guest chair. It is just a gigantic Squishmallow Pikachu. If you're watching on video, his nose is a little squished, but we love him. The best Pokemon that anyone could ever ask for. So, because it is just me, it's going to be kind of an exciting new little adventure. We've been teasing the idea of solo episodes, so we're gonna try this out and see how it works. So, instead of a guest, we are doing a Q&A episode where I polled the audience and got a bunch of questions from Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. And I am just going to answer them all by myself. It's going to be my little Twitch stream. So I polled for questions. They are kind of not specifically podcast related exactly. I mentioned that it could be anything, whether it's just for me or for the podcast. So it's going to be a mix of everything. But I thought this was a really good one to start out on, which is from Josh. And it is, what led you to do the podcast, Dress Down Pod? And I feel like it's kind of multi-layered, multifaceted, but my friend Ryan, aka Harold, had a really cool idea, which was that the cosplay niche of the internet was missing a podcast, basically, and he wanted to do a, tell me if I'm wrong over there, correct me if I'm wrong, but he had the idea to do a cosplay podcast that features all the cosplayers and their journeys, how they got to where they are. Like, cosplay is such a new and interesting job, even nowadays, where you think that everyone knows what cosplay is because, at least for me, like, all the nerds are immersed in cosplay, right? Like, we don't think about the fact that people don't know what cosplay is. Even now, I talk about cosplay sometimes to people and they have no idea what I'm talking about. So it's such a new and interesting medium, and it's a career now, which is incredible. Thank you, Jessica Negri. Thank you, Yaya Han, for paving the way for all of us, among others. But it's such a cool, weird, interesting career path that doesn't have a lot of information about it. So I thought that that was a really cool thing, a really cool idea. And I Twitch streamed for a really long time, and Ryan was like, you'd be a good host. He didn't realize I had such terrible camera anxiety, which I feel like I still have, but I'm just now starting to kind of get over. When I'm alone, especially when I'm streaming, it's a little bit different. I think that that has to do with maybe some control issues on my end. But when I'm streaming, I realized that there's a big difference between streaming alone in a room and being on camera that someone else is recording. And I didn't understand the difference at first. I didn't think too hard about it. I was like, yeah, of course, that sounds amazing. That sounds really fun. Like, thanks for thinking I'm funny and entertaining, but I will do my best. And I did my first episode with Stella Chu, and I was shaking like a little chihuahua, freaking out the entire time. And Stella, for context, has been my friend for, I want to say, like 9 years. Like, I've known Stella forever. I started doing cosplay in like 2013, 2014, and I met Stella pretty quickly. So I've known Stella forever, and I don't feel intimidated or scared of Stella. Same with Witchy, same with Clarice, like the first three episodes, but I was freaking out. And I think if we were to unpack that, I think that I was scared because I wasn't able to see myself and I wasn't able to have the control that I normally have when I stream, which is all the control. Like, I can see a preview of myself at all times when I stream. I see the chat. I see things happening in real time. If something's wrong, I can fix it. And with this, I just am like, okay, like, hopefully everything looks good. Hopefully everything sounds good. I trust Ryan. He's been doing this forever for other people. So, you know, hopefully I'm not bombing. But I feel like been leveling up since then. I'm going on a tangent now, but I've been saying that it's almost like The Sims, where when you are training your charisma in The Sims, you are like giving speeches in the bathroom mirror and you can see your charisma skills going up. I feel like that's me every podcast episode. Where in the beginning, the first episode with Stella, I was so nervous that I almost couldn't talk halfway through. I'm sure that you cut this out, Ryan, but at one point Stella was like, do you want me to talk? Like, she could tell that I was losing my mind, like completely crashing out. She was like, do you want me to talk? I'll talk. I could just talk. And she just started talking about BL and Love in Deep Space and all this stuff. And it was kind of just, I think now looking back on it, because I didn't really, well, I didn't necessarily know how to like flow with conversation. I think that I attribute that to streaming alone, and kind of only having to deal with my dynamic, but then also COVID. I'm gonna bring up the pandemic. I know that that's not a fun topic, but I feel like I lost a lot of social points during COVID because I didn't interact with people as much. So it's a really long answer to this question, but what led me to do the podcast was I had been wanting to do a podcast for a long time. I just didn't really know the context of what I wanted to do. And I also didn't have the resources. Peril coming to me was great. I think the idea was great. I think worked really well together. So the idea of doing a cosplay podcast was really cool because then I got to interview all my friends that I've known forever, and I get to share knowledge as well, because one of the coolest part of doing guest spots for conventions is doing panels for me. I love talking about how to do things and like educating people. And it was an idea for a YouTube series that I had for a really long time, where I was like, I can walk everybody through how to make a print store, and then I could walk everybody through how to be a guest at a con, and how to get guest spots, and then how to set up your booth. And there were all of these ideas that I had where I wanted to teach people how to do all these things. And so the idea of interviewing guests and like having a section specifically to give advice and tips, which we've integrated in a lot of the episodes, was really cool, because I'm really shy as a person, but I can really yap about a topic that I'm really excited about. So if somebody were to come up to my booth at a con, for example, and say, I really want to make this specific prop, but I don't know how, I love that, because then I can talk for like 45 minutes about exactly how to do the prop and exactly how to make it. And it's so exciting. And they're like, I'm sorry, we're not even here to buy anything, and I'm taking up all your time. And I'm like, no, don't leave. I want to talk about it, especially if they come up and talk about video games. Like, I just love talking about things that I enjoy, and I love teaching people how to do things. So the idea of having other guests on talking about how to make costumes, or like best practices for sewing, or something like that, like it was just a really fun, cool thing. So TLDR, how do I summarize that?
Cosplay is cool.
Cosplay is cool. Thank you. Cosplay is cool. I swear, it's really cool. Thank you, though, Josh, for the question. Not all of the questions are going to take that long to answer, but that one specifically feels like it needed some time, love, and care. So thanks. Also, everybody who has been watching all of the episodes, I do a lot of the GalaxyCon, speaking of conventions and panels and things. And something that has been really, really exciting for me is when people come up to me at the con and say that they watch the podcast episodes and that they love them. Like, it reinvigorates me in a way that I can't explain. I'm just so excited about stuff like that. And it happens at every con that I go to, which is just really cool, because there's a separation between the internet, you and the internet, right? So you see, like, you can see a ton of comments, you can see anything, and it doesn't register the same way as somebody telling you in person. So anybody who listens, anyone who signs up to the Patreon, anyone who comments on the social clips for anything, it's just really cool, and we appreciate you. What's next? Saktir wants to know who the funniest guest so far on the podcast was. Man, that's hard. Who is the funniest guest to you? Off the top of my head, I want to say Nick.
Yeah, I think Bridget's pretty funny.
Bridget too. Is a pretty funny. That's true. Bridget is also really funny.
Yeah.
Amanda's also really funny. So many people are funny. Off the top of my head, I want to say Nick, because so one thing that really, I mean, let's just get vulnerable, shall we? One thing that really stressed me out about being like the host of a podcast is that I don't have like a big, exciting, loud personality. Like, I am very I've always been shy before COVID, before cosplay. And what cosplay did for me was really open me up and kind of feed the extrovert inside of me, where I was like not as afraid to talk to people. So but I still wouldn't say that I have crossed the line into like a loud, boisterous type of person. So with people like Nick, I feel like I don't have to think so hard about being loud and present, because he is loud and present without trying. And I think I get along with those types of people really well because I love to listen to people talk and be really passionate about what they're excited about. And so when Nick was here and just loves anime and is so excitable and talkative about his interests, it made my job really easy, but it also clicks with me on a very personal level because it fills in the gaps, I think, of my personality, which is that I am kind of like caring and smaller, which isn't a bad thing, right? But I like to give people space. And so when people take up that space, I think it sort of ebbs and flows in a nice way. So I enjoyed Nick. Nick was one of my favorites for sure. Bridget was hilarious, but Bridget is just really funny in general. Same with Amanda. I think Amanda's really funny, witchy. Yeah, I think a lot of people are funny. We're funny. I think Danny was funny. A lot of people were funny. Crispy says, I wanted to say congrats on a great show. You're a great host. Roll on another year. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I've already talked about my paranoia of being a bad host. So I appreciate that you think that I'm a good host. That's really cool. I don't know if you're blowing smoke up my ass or not, but I appreciate you. I can't believe that it's been a year, actually, honestly. It doesn't feel like a year. I keep looking over at Peril, but I can't see him. He's behind the light, but it doesn't feel like a year. I think it feels more like 5 months. Does it feel like a year to you?
No.
No, right? No. Yeah, he said no too. It doesn't feel like a year. It feels like time is kind of one long run-on sentence right now. But thank you. That's very kind of you. Here's to another year. Things that we have planned this year are the we're discussing solo episodes right now, which is fun. More like maybe more educational. We haven't dove too deep into it yet, but maybe more like personal experiences, things like that. Do you have anything to add? I'm interrupting your mobile gaming, I know.
I'm not gaming.
I can't see you, but usually you're mobile gaming. I don't usually ask you this many questions.
I think, yeah, the solo episode is a big thing for Patreon. Mm-hmm. I think probably a more variety of guests as well.
Mm-hmm. More variety of guests for sure. I think we started out doing just cosplay. And we started kind of diversifying our guests from just cosplayers to anyone doing social media in general, anything that's kind of nerdy, because we went from cosplay to like makeup artists when we did Kelton, and then we sort of moved into content, like nerdy content creation with who am I thinking of?
Danny.
Sorry?
Danny.
I thought about Danny, but Danny does cosplay.
I mean, it
was before Danny. I mean, Nick for sure. There was someone else, but I can't remember off the top of my head right now. Danny, Nick. So we shoot in a warehouse. We have like a nerdy warehouse that we shoot in, which we were talking about doing like a little tour as well, like a behind the scenes tour. So you can see how everything looks from like a behind the curtain perspective. But it's kind of a creative, a little creative, well, a big creative warehouse where there's all kinds of people. There's cosplayers, there's YouTubers, there's tattoo artists, there's all these different types of creative mediums here that share rent in this warehouse. And one of them recently became the Anime IRL YouTube channel. They shoot here. So that is the like anime game show. The anime game show YouTube channel that is hosted by Nick Connor, who is NC Hammer 23, I think. Chris Barnett. Stephen He, aka Emotional Damage Guy, and Danny Mata, I believe. So they moved in here and they started shooting. And I was like, Nick, wouldn't it be cool if you did the podcast? And he doesn't cosplay, but it seemed adjacent enough to make sense, right? Because they do dress up and they do love anime, and anime is a part of cosplay, and it just made sense in my brain. Like, this isn't necessarily a cosplayer, but it is someone in that realm. And as we started to get more guests like Danny Phantom and Nick and I don't know, people like Alex Ward, like it started to expand, right, into not just cosplay, but pop culture in general, which I do think that cosplay celebrates. So it seemed like a natural progression of things. And I'm enjoying it, and I'm really excited. I would like to keep expanding into that. We have some guests lined up that are comedians. We have some guests lined up that are cosplayers, but we have all elements of the nerdy spectrum coming to hang out with us soon, which is very exciting. That question is shady. I'll come back to that one. Somebody said, have you, Manthony said, have you thought about having repeat, regular guests for the podcast? Yes, we have had one repeat guest so far, and that's Witchy Brew.
Technically, she was not the guest.
Kind of, yeah. So we have talked about having repeat guests, especially now that I've sort of leveled up a little bit as far as hosting goes. We started out with Stella. So before we had the idea of doing the like solo Q&A episode, we had the idea of bringing Stella back since Stella was the first episode, and then that dropped February 14th on Valentine's Day last year. We wanted to do Stella again for Valentine's Day this year, but Valentine's Day is also the weekend of Katsucon, and Stella and I were both not available, so we're shelving that for now, but we're coming back to it. But we did want to redo some of the very early on episodes, bringing people back, especially because when you think of talking to someone for an hour, you imagine you're going to get through everything. But very often I only have like 3, maybe 4 cards of notes, and I don't even get to the last card because we just start expanding on the things that are exciting to that person, and we start talking about stories, and I start asking questions, and then by the time we get to the end, even through the podcast part of the episode, which is another like 45 minutes to an hour, we don't even get to some of the things that I wanted to talk about. So we have talked about bringing people back on. Amanda Witchy Brew came back on, but we swapped places and she interviewed me for the 50th episode. That was really fun. I got to take a little mental break. It is a lot less stressful to be interviewed than it is to interview someone, I'll say. I would like Clarice to come back on. I would like Stella to come back on. I'd like Morgan to come back on. Is there anyone that you would want to come back on?
Ryan? I want to see maybe Julia, because she's been doing a bunch of stuff.
Julia. Yeah, I love Julia.
Yeah.
I love Julia. Julia was going to move to LA and then she didn't. Rest in peace. I would love Julia to come back. Original screen name said, what is the cosplay that you would never do? Which is a wild question. And the fact that I have an answer for it already in my head. And I don't want to say it. Yeah, and I don't want to say it, but I'm going to, because it's the only thing that I can think of when I read that question. And I can't think of anything else. I feel like you're going to clip this. And I feel like I'm going to get in trouble. Just like you clipped Johnny's thing. The cosplay that I don't think that I'll ever do is Elizabeth from Seven Deadly Sins. And I say that because I don't know that I've watched an anime that I've hated more than Seven Deadly Sins. Have you seen Seven Deadly Sins?
Yeah.
It's so bad. I hated it. I hated it. And the thing is, people love it. People love it so much. They love it so much, and I don't understand why. I also hate... There's so many things that are bad that I like. Right? Like, my standards for movies and anime and video games, it's on the floor. Like, if it's good and it's entertaining, which most things are, good or bad, I like it. And I've never hated an anime. And I hate Seven Deadly Sins. I think it's so bad. I hated it. I hated Meliodas. I thought he was so annoying. Just the most annoying protagonist of all time. He wasn't even like fun pervy the way that Master Roshi is in Dragon Ball Z. Like, at least you can like laugh at Master Roshi. Like, Meliodas is just weird and creepy. Like, I just hated Meliodas. I didn't want to watch him anymore. He just sucked. I feel like I'm gonna get shit for that. Like, there's a way to be like, I'm no better than a man. And that's like, it's funny, right? Like, it's kind of a bit. And that's what I mean when I say fun pervy. Like, it's like, ugh, I get it. I love a hot woman. I appreciate a hot woman just like the next guy. Just like the next girl. But Meliodas is like not someone you want to root for. Like, he's just like creepy and weird. And I just hate him. So I hated Seven Deadly Sins specifically because of Meliodas. And it sucks because Bon was the coolest part of Seven Deadly Sins. I loved Bon and I loved Deanna, I think. I can't remember if it's pronounced Diana or Deanna, but I liked them both as characters. And I loved Bon a lot. And I wanted to do a Bon cosplay, and I wanted to do an Elizabeth cosplay because she's like objectively a sexy character and I like her outfit, but I couldn't ever bring myself to do it because of how much I hated the anime. Do you feel any way about that specifically?
I dropped that show.
You did? You dropped it too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
It just wasn't that interesting to me.
Well.
And it's long.
It's really long. I heard the second season was good, but I never made it that far, so. Who's your Marvel rivals, main? That's from Insta Nick. Haven't played Marvel Rivals in a while. When I played Marvel Rivals, it was Squirrel Girl. Now I feel like I have an obligation to say Rogue, because I cosplayed Rogue for Marvel Rivals. But I never played Rogue, so I don't know if I could say that with my full chest. I love Squirrel Girl, though. When I play any game, like shooter, third person shooter?
Mm-hmm.
Any third person shooter like that, I want to be as far away as humanly possible. So Squirrel Girl I liked because I could just like lob things against walls from far away. Because I hate being bad at video games. And I know I don't have the muscle memory to be good at those types of games. So I'm like, if I'm really far away and I don't really have to aim, this is an ideal situation for me. So I love Squirrel Girl for that reason. And for that reason, for that reason alone.
And she's thick.
What?
And she's thick.
She's so thick. Ugh. Again, no better than a man. No better than a man. I love her. And her voice actress is the voice actress from the insurance commercials.
Yeah, Milano Vayntrub.
Yes. Oh. Hmm. Incredible. So many people ask who your favorite guest is. Let's see. What are your top five favorite cosplays that you've done? From Jenny. That's fun. Okay. My first favorite cosplay that I've ever done has to be Dead Space. I've been saying that since I made this costume. It is by far the most work I've ever put into a costume ever. And I don't know that everyone knows how much work I put into it because I don't post enough about like each step that I do. But to do the Dead Space costume, I put my full chest into this costume. I started out with art from the game because Isaac, the main character of Dead Space, is a man in a spacesuit that's kind of ugly. And I am lucky enough to have a friend who's an artist who goes by the online name Whiskey Risk or Armagordon, and he is a really talented digital artist. And I commissioned him to make a female version of Isaac's art that had like a breastplate and was more like form-fitting, and he did an amazing job. And so I had art to look at, and then I, from there, messaged Brandon, who works for Arachnid Studios. And Arachnid Studios is also a digital artist that makes Zentai suits. So if you see anybody in like a Zero Suit Samus suit or any spider suit or any like skin tight suit whatsoever, it is probably from Arachnid Studios. And Brandon is such a great, like such a nice, talented guy. I have commissioned him for a lot of like unique stuff over the years, and I asked him specifically to, if I gave him this art, if he could make the undersuit for this Dead Space costume, and he did. So I was able to commission an artist, and then I was able to commission a second artist to make the suit design from the first concept art, and then he made that for me, and I bought it from his website, which includes the option to have it sewn together by a third-party company. So there was just so many steps involved, like even in the planning phases of the Dead Space costume, where all of that came together. And then once it got to me, I was able to build all of the armor on top of it, which a lot of it was made out of foam. And a lot of it was based on the concept art, but some of it was kind of in my brain that I was manipulating as I was seeing it come together, like in 3D. And the gun and the helmet were 3D printed, but not a lot of people know that the gun was 78 pieces and the helmet, I think, no, I'm sorry, the helmet was 70 something pieces and the gun was 130 pieces, something like that. And there were no instructions for either of those things to put them together. So I had to do the scariest and most tedious two puzzles of my entire life, which was to sit and look at 70 plus tiny little pieces of PLA and figure out where the fuck they go and how they fit together. And honestly, it took longer to do that than any other part of the costume. So people are like, oh, you 3D printed the helmet, like, ugh, easy. And I'm like, no. You don't understand. That part was the hardest part, actually, because what I ended up having to do was I ended up printing out a picture of the gun and the helmet, and I was sitting there with a Sharpie and labeling all of the pieces that came out of the printer and then trying to figure out where they went on the picture that I printed out and labeling them there and slowly crossing them all off as I was trying to fit them all together. And if I fit them together and ended up realizing that I was wrong and I had already glued them together, if it was super glue heats up and fuses the two plastic pieces together, so you can't undo that anymore because it melts the material. So then I had to reprint the pieces if I got it wrong. So I was like taping things together. I was so stressed out. And the gun print articulates because it was the plasma cutter, so it goes from horizontal to vertical, and I wanted it to go from horizontal to vertical. I didn't want it to be static, so I had to figure out which pieces needed to get glued down and which ones had to stay not glued to spin. It took days. It took so many days to glue the gun together and figure out how to put the gun together that when people are like, oh, the gun's 3D printed, like it's no big deal. And I'm like, no. Yes, the gun is 3D printed. I didn't have to build it out of foam. But this was like you dumping out a puzzle of just like various shades of red with no photo. And then being like, good luck. And it was really hard. But I just love, I put LEDs. I just love that costume. I've been talking about this for a while, so I'm going to wrap it up. But my favorite types of costumes from the very beginning have always been gender bend costumes. Like within my first five cosplays that I ever built was like a femme Teemo from League of Legends and a femme Ezreal from League of Legends, femme Thresh from League of Legends, femme Raiden from Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat. Sorry, I had a little bit of alcohol before we did this. Just a lot of like creative interpretation. So getting to do that again when I had like the skills to actually make something cool was really exciting.
And Femme Sonic.
Shut up. I also did a Femme Sonic the Hedgehog. Shout out Vera Bambi. I looked at Vera. I actually talked to Vera yesterday about being a guest. And she wants to do it. She's excited. But I saw Vera Bambi's Sonic. It's a great thing to talk to her about, by the way, when she gets on. And she did such a good job. Vera, if anything, is like a vixen. I don't know how else to describe it. It's like sex appeal. She has like, she's so aesthetically pleasing. She knows exactly how to be that way. And it's so cool. And she did this really epic female Sonic cosplay. And I was like, I want to do that. And it's my greatest shame. my Sonic cosplay is my greatest shame. It's so bad. Like, I bought, and this was a time where you couldn't buy wigs easily. I bought this wig on eBay, and it showed up the day before the con. And it was the shortest blue wig I've ever seen in my life. And when it showed up, it was so thin. You could see the wefts in the cap on the skull. And it was too short to style. And when I tried to style it, it just, like, melted the fibers of the wig. And I had made these little, tiny little ears that were just like an inch tall, and it was just so bad. It was so bad. It was so bad. Anyway, we're not going to talk about Sonic. I've tried to bury those images on Google, but people still have them. So anyway, I love a gender bend is my point here. That's my number one, and it always will be until I make something cooler. Lately, though, I really like my Haunter that I did, my armored Haunter, especially because I got to put a, like, fog machine in the wizard staff. And so the Haunter smokes that is on the top of the staff. And I love effects like that, and I love props, and I love armor. So that's number two. Morrigan from Dragon Age is definitely a big one. Dragon Age is one of my favorite games of all time, and Origins and Inquisition, but it was like the game that Inquisition was the game that I put the most hours into in my adult life, that wasn't League of Legends or WoW. So I liked bringing that to life, and it was also one of my favorite cosplay photos I've ever taken, so that means a lot to me. I have to pick two more. This is an older one, but the first time that I did the Blood Elf armor from World of Warcraft is one of my favorites, because... And that ended up actually becoming my Haunter armor. It was an upcycle situation. But WoW, I think, was like my first... Well, not I think. WoW was the first game that I was obsessed with. And I am a gamer at heart. So WoW has a special place in my heart. And I've wanted to do... I wanted to do a WoW costume for a long time. And... doing the Blood Elf, the Blood Elf Mage was one of the first cosplays that I made out of Warbla that was mostly armor that I wore and loved. Usually when you make a costume and you put it on, at least my experience, but most of the experiences of my friends as well, you put the cosplay on and you either have to spend a bunch of time kind of shuffling it around and making it fit right and doing all these things. And sometimes you spend all this time and you put it on and then you're like, this doesn't look right. But the Blood Elf was one of the first cosplays that I put on and immediately was like, I love this. So feeling confident like that in a costume really rocks. And so the Blood Elf has a special place in my heart. And for the fifth one, I'm going to say Android 18. It was the first costume I ever did. Was the first iteration of it good? No. But I've done it a bunch of times since then. And I feel like I've kind of refined it over the years. And wearing it brings me back to my roots. For lack of a better word, I think what was so exciting for me about cosplay was something that I experienced for the first time in the Android 18 costume, which is the like pure excitement of the community of the conventions of cosplay, where people were just so stoked to see you in as their favorite character or cosplaying as cosplaying something from the same game or genre or anime as them, that it was so exciting to experience. And I think everybody in the nerd community or anyone who goes to cons knows, like, we all have the same come up lore of being bullied and being weird nerdy kids. And so immediately being accepted and having somebody be so excited about something kind of taboo like dressing up was a really exciting moment for me. So Android 18 has also a special place in my heart. And those are my top five costumes, everybody. That was harder than I thought it was gonna be. Stop it.
That's what? My favorite.
That's your favorite cosplay. It's one of my favorite Twitch clips of all time. I don't know if you guys can see this from here. Me and Morgan body painted ourselves from Lore Olympus when Lore Olympus was really big, and I was yellow. I was God, what's her name? I was the yellow one from Lore Olympus, the mom. And Morgan was red, and we were painting ourselves on stream, and it was my first time dealing with full body face paint and body paint, and I put too much product around my mouth, and I gave myself a yellow goatee. Oh man. Okay. Jonathan says, do you like sports cars? Not really. I think they're cool, but I don't know anything about cars. I don't know anything about cars. I don't know anything about sports. I'm a nerdy weirdo. I don't know sports. I don't know cars. But I can appreciate a cool looking car. I just don't have a lot to say, unfortunately. Jonah said, if you had infinite money, what is a cosplay that you would do? And this is a question that people ask cosplayers a lot. And my answer hasn't changed at all in the past, like, 7 years or something like that, still to this day. And the answer is, I would want to be full zerged out Sarah Kerrigan from, I was about to say Soul Calibur. I haven't had that much to drink. Oh my God.
You're close. It is an SC.
StarCraft. Oh my God. It is SC. I guess my brain was adjacent. From StarCraft. I think Sarah Kerrigan is the coolest female protagonist. She's not a protagonist. She's an antagonist, right? I think she's one of the coolest women in video games. Like, how sick is it that she got left behind, and instead of, like, becoming the tragic backstory to Rainer, she was like, I'm just gonna, like, take over instead. And I just think that rocks. And a lot of the voice acting classes, actually, that I take, or the coaching that I do, if there's a villain, I usually pretend it's Kerrigan. I think she's awesome. And the nuances of villains, which I talked about with Alex Ward when he was on, are really interesting when it comes to acting and voice acting, because the number one rule of villains that I've learned is that villains believe wholeheartedly that they're the good guys. And it's like an interesting dynamic, because you obviously, as the player, know that the bad guys are the bad guys, but they genuinely don't think that. They think that whatever they're doing for the greater good, or whatever their story is, they believe it. So it's fun and it's interesting to play a villain, and if there's any way to relate to a character like that, it becomes easier to read those lines believably. And so for me, I always kind of try to tap into somebody like Kerrigan because I could see why she's pissed off. I think we all can. I think that's the beauty of Kerrigan, right? Like she's like, I was left for dead and nobody came back for me. Maybe you guys are doing the right thing, but you guys left me to die. So fuck you guys. I kind of respect it. I respect it. So she's one of the character breakdowns that I have kind of in my back pocket that I love. So I would love to do Sarah Kerrigan. Full brood mother, full like Diablo-esque, like almost skin webbed texture, wing, like bone wings, like the full thing. I think that would be really cool. So that's my answer to that. And it always has been, and maybe it always will be. Maybe I'll actually do that cosplay eventually. I've always wanted to do Nova as well because I think she is also a badass little sniper lady. Digit asks, what is one historical figure that you would want to interview and one creator that would be a dream interview? Historical figure is kind of rough. I don't know. Can you think of a historical figure?
Yeah, I mean, a lot.
That you would want to interview on this?
Yeah, podcast? Any of them.
Any of them?
Yeah.
Any historical figure.
Jesus.
Jesus is crazy. Not Jesus. Well, no. It would have to be someone relating to, like, nerdy stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Otherwise, they wouldn't fit.
Walt Disney.
Not Walt Disney. That man's terrible. That man's terrible.
No, mine would be Jim Henson.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or Mr. Rogers.
Jim Henson or Mr. Rogers is what Ryan said, and I would like to second that. I love that. Those are really good. The second part of the question is what creator would be a dream interview? And that's a little harder. I mean, I think that in terms of cosplay, I would always want Jess on here, which we've talked about so many times, but she just doesn't live here and it's been hard to coordinate. But I would love Jessica on here. Jessica Negri, there wouldn't be cosplay without Jess. And Jess sometimes forgets that. And I think that that's one of the greatest parts about Jess is that she's so humble and so giving and so cool about like that aspect of things. But it's just true. Like she paved the way for all of us, for everyone, for cosplay to be a career in general. And whether or not that could have come without her, we'll never know because she's the one who did it. So I just think that I don't think that there's anybody that I think deserves to be a cosplay guest more than Jess. I think Jess and Yaya Han also, I've talked to Yaya about this, not as much, but just like the goats. Like if there was a Mount Rushmore of cosplayers, like they'd be on it, right?
Yeah.
Like yeah. Them too, for sure. I think that lately Stella and Baby No Money have been like crushing cosplay. I love that he's leaning into cosplay as a like creative outlet because I think the more eyes on cosplay the better. And so I think Alex Baby No Money would be a great guest. There's so many people that would be a great guest.
Mine's easy.
What?
You already know it.
Is it Emiru?
No. It's Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar, you're right. You did say that. But why? Why here? Why this?
He fits everywhere.
He fits everywhere. That's so funny. Ryan's guest of choice is Kendrick Lamar. That is true. We have a Trello board where we keep track of guests and episodes and stuff. And you did put Kendrick Lamar on there for potential guests. And that's pretty funny. Let's see. David said, what is your dream collab? And that's hard too. You know, actually, wait, I'm cooking. What's my dream collab? It's a big open-ended question, right? What's your dream collab? I think when I first started cosplaying, if I were to be like, what's my dream collab? It would have been like a really sick armor group with a bunch of really cool people. Some of the first cosplayers that I ever followed. So I knew what cosplay was because I wrote game articles for a website, like a gaming website in college for extra money. It was like $20 an article. So I would sign up for as many of them as I possibly could. And it was like you could sign up for a game and then you could play the game and you could write walkthroughs for the game, which is also how I ended up playing like 300 plus hours of Goat Simulator because I know where every trophy in Goat Simulator is and how to get it and how to get all the power-ups. And I taught the entire internet how to do that. That's my claim to fame. But you could pitch your own articles, and I was really into League, and I was like 10 League of Legends cosplays to follow. And that's how I started following a lot of cosplayers. I followed Miss Yeru, who did amazing League cosplays. I followed Danielle Ballou, did amazing cosplays. Jessica Negri did a bunch of, and Yaya Han did a bunch of amazing cosplays. And I don't even remember what the question was. my dream collab. I think my point here is that I've done that. My dream collab would have been to collab with these people who I thought did amazing costumes. And I did that. So I think that's cool. And I didn't know how to set a new goal after that because I felt like I reached it. Like, what else is there to do? But I think my new dream collab, now that I've started to do different creative outlets, would be voice acting. And I think my dream collab for voice acting is a couple of things. I think working with Jennifer Hale, because Jennifer Hale, I think, is like the GOAT. She won like the most prolific voice actress, like the most prolific voice actor of our generation. She won this crazy award. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was crazy. And I just think she's amazing. I also think Laura Bailey's amazing. I think doing anything with anyone from Critical Role would be awesome. I think doing anything in a Resident Evil game would be amazing. So those are my dreams. I would also love to collab with any of my coaches, Brian Balance or Jennifer Roberts. Would be sick. So that's my new dream collab. And we'll get there eventually. Manthony asked, would you video call guests for podcast episodes, or are you only doing them in person? And for now, I would like to only do them in person because I think that the dynamic of talking to somebody face to face is really cool and important, because a lot of the gap that we're trying to bridge with this is getting to like talk to somebody and see who they are, because a lot of cosplay started with just photo content. So getting to like see two people interact is kind of the point. But I'm not against it.
I am.
You are? Never mind. Ryan hates it. Ryan said, no, fuck that. I don't love it. I think that it does kind of defeat the point. So for now, we're just doing in person. Manthony also asked, would you do solo pod episodes and maybe speak about events in your personal vlogs? We're planning that already, Manthony. We're getting there. Don't even fret. We're doing that right now. We're talking about it. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. I wasn't expecting to yap as much as I did, but we have more questions to get through on the Patreon portion. If you enjoyed this episode and you were thinking about joining Patreon, we have much more questions that we are going to answer. Some spicier questions that I left for the Patreon specifically that we are going to get into. And again, we will link that down below. Thank you so much for watching. We will see you in the next episode. Goodbye, everybody. And if you're looking for the rest of the episode, make sure that you go to patreon.com/dressdownpod for the rest of these exciting question and answers. And thank you, Pikachu, for being here with me today. Rebel Barry asked, are there any specific cons that you always attend? And are there ones that you would never return to? We've talked about this before. Okay.